WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The Exciting Life of a Tree, How to Kiss, and 25 Ways to Stop Smoking are some of Bill Plimpton's comic animated shorts. He's also done a lot of animation for MTV. In fact, he has a new animated sitcom that he's piloting for MTV. The American Museum of the Moving Image in New York just honored him with a film retrospective, which also previewed his new feature-length animation, I Married a Strange Person. It opens theatrically this week in New York and L.A., and opens in other cities in September. Like several of his animated shorts, I Married a Strange Person is a bit sexually obsessed. The story focuses on a couple of newlyweds. The wife discovers that her husband isn't the man she thought he was. He has developed strange and disturbing powers.
Through the weird act of two birds having sex, falling out of the sky and bumping into his radar dish, these radiation beams get directed into his brain, and it hits his imagination lobe, and it grows to huge proportions. And consequently, whenever he thinks of something, whenever he imagines something, it becomes reality. So he'll be daydreaming about something, and all of a sudden it becomes a reality, and real life is suddenly a whole different ballgame for him.
Let's give an example. Like, there's one scene in which his new mother-in-law scolds him for getting a crumb on her kitchen table.
Right.
And she says, oh, we must be neat and clean or else we get bugs. And then what happens?
Well, then he starts imagining bugs coming out of all of her orifices, and that's exactly what happens.
Actually, I think they're climbing into all of her orifices.
They climb in, and then she spits them out. You're right.
Pretty grisly. Would you want to live in a world in which your thoughts could come to life?
Absolutely not. I think it'd be scary. And you know what's really scary is the thought of someone seeing into my head. That's what really scares me, and I think everybody has that fear. So that's sort of the double whammy of this film, is not only does his brain create things, but also people can see what he's thinking through his weird thoughts coming to life. And that's one of the major themes of the one of the major scenes of the film, is when they are in bed together. I don't know, how should I say this? Having sensual fun. Is that possible to say?
That sounds clean enough, yeah.
And he has these racy thoughts, these sexy thoughts, and they all become reality. And then his bride, his wife, Carrie, sees his thoughts, sees what he's thinking, and she gets totally angry.
Give us an example that you could describe on the radio of what he's thinking.
Okay. Well, first of all, he imagines, as they are doing it, he imagines her being other females, or not even females, just other characters. Like, she becomes a pom-pom girl, a rally girl, she becomes a nun, she becomes a bunny rabbit, she becomes Carmen Miranda, and she becomes really angry at him changing her into all these characters. She says, just make love to me and nobody else. And then all these inanimate objects around the room start doing it, like the wall sockets and the light bulb and the shoes and the soap dish and all these weird, bizarre things you find around your house start getting sexually active. Can I say that?
Yes, and you've had to figure out ways to make, like, electrical outlets copulate.
Yes, and that's the fun part of the film, was seeing common day objects turn into raving sex maniacs.
Early on in your animated film, when the new wife is trying to seduce her new husband, who keeps putting her off because he has work to do, she tries all the seductress cliches, putting her hand in her stockings and rubbing her thigh, sucking on her finger. And then, of course, she takes it to absurd extremes. But
yes.
Do you enjoy working with cliches in a funny way and then turning them on their ears?
Well, that's, I think, the basis of almost all the humor that you see, is you have to take something that is a cliche, or something that's trite, or something that's stereotypical, something that's actually even kind of boring, and you twist it around, you reverse it, or you flop it, or you exaggerate it, and then all of a sudden it becomes something new. It becomes a new vision, something that you've never seen before. And that is always, that surprise is always what people laugh at. And it's sort of like a, it's almost a formula. I hate to say it, but for anybody out there who does do films or comics, that's a really easy way to get gags. As an example, this isn't in the film, but this is just an example. Take something, the cliche, like a guy climbing a mountain. All you do is flop that around, have a mountain climbing a guy. You say you're just standing there and you see this little mountain climbing up your hip and up your chest, and it's funny. You could be wearing little boots and clip on spikes and ropes and a little Swiss hat, and it becomes a gag. And that's sort of the foundation for a lot of my humor, is taking a cliche and just switching it around or looking at it at a totally different direction or a different way, and it, all of a sudden it's a surprise and you start laughing at it.
I think you also work with a lot of stock cartoon images that have become cliches over the years. For example, when the two birds are involved in the act of sex at the beginning mm-hmm. of your film, the male bird is so kind of excited. He opens up his mouth, and then all we see of his head are his teeth. His teeth just mm-hmm. kind of grow up to a larger proportion than his head is. Mm-hmm. And then in his in his ecstasy, the teeth just kind of shatter and split.
Right.
But
right.
There's so many cartoons that I remember from my childhood in which, a character smiles and then the teeth just take over the face.
Right, right. But then I carried it another step further. He's so involved in this act that he starts chewing on his tongue, and he starts biting his tongue off like it's a side of salami.
Right.
And then the bird, the female bird, her eyes get so big with excitement that they become a video game, and they start playing this Pong game. So I try to keep the ideas fresh and keep carrying it into new frontiers of animation fantasy.
My guest is animator Bill Plimpton. His new feature is called I Married a Strange Person. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Animationist Bill Plimpton is my guest, and his new animated feature film is called I Married a Strange Person. Now, you did all the drawings yourself for
yes.
this new feature film.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, I understand, about 30,000 drawings?
30,000 drawings, yeah. They're all in my apartment.
How do you pace yourself when you know you're doing a project that requires 30,000 drawings?
Well, it's funny. I don't think of it that way. I can't think of anything more fun. Well, maybe one or two things more fun than getting up in the morning, going straight to my drawing board and animating. Because it's sort of godlike creative kind of experience. You're having fun with these characters. You're making them, their heads fly off, or they fly through the air, or their bodies implode, or, it's just such a gas to play around with these characters. And I get in this zen thing, and if I don't get a lot of phone calls or people asking me questions, I can work, 14 hours a day, and I can do a minute of animation, which is really, it's really unheard of before. I don't know why other people don't do it, but the common Disney formula for animation is basically half a second a day, and I can do a minute a day, which means theoretically I could do a feature film in 3 months, which is kind of scary. But I think that's normal. I don't know why other people can't do that. I really don't understand that.
Well, what you're doing is very low tech. You're not using, for instance, any kind of computer graphics.
That's true. It's very traditional, actually. It's similar to the 1001 Dalmatians. It's basically, I do the drawings on pencil. I test it on my pencil test machine, and then I hand it to my assistant, who Xeroxes it onto cells, copies it onto cells, and then they paint the backs of the cells, and then they shoot it with a camera. So it's a very old, traditional style. It's just me drawing in my apartment and three or four people painting the backs of the cells, and that's it.
How do you test the drawings on pencil test machines?
It's a video camera hooked up to a VCR that's actually one of those time-lapse VCRs that they use in stores to take time-lapse photography of people robbing the store. And they've fixed it so you can shoot single frames on it with animation. And it's just a very simple process. It's black and white, and I test the motion and the movement of the drawings and see if the character looks good. And once that's okay, then we go on to painting the cells and shooting it on a regular 35mm film camera.
What were your favorite cartoons as a kid?
Well, definitely Daffy Duck and Bugs Bunny. I thought they were just hilarious, and I was 4 or 5 years old when I first saw their films. It's amazing, even today, almost 60 years later, those films, they show them on television, and they're fresh as ever, and they look like they were just done last week. And that's, again, something that animation is fantastic at. You take a movie from then or a radio show from the 30s, and it just looks so dated. But that animation just looks unbelievably cool. It's just the humor and the wit is there because it's visual, and because visual humor is timeless. And I don't know why that is. Something universal about visual humor. Any country or any language or any time really laughs at it. They really enjoy it. And that's what I want to do. I want to do this animation that's timeless and it's universal, and someone in Saigon will laugh at it, or someone in Africa will laugh at it, because it is a universal humor.
I have to say, with Daffy Duck, you don't have to worry that his hairdo or his lapels will look out of date.
That's true.
Are there images from the old Looney Tunes that particularly stick in your mind?
Well, especially like Bob Clampett and Tex Avery. Tex Avery did this one film, you've probably seen it, called King Size Canary, and it has a dog, a cat, and a canary, and they find a bottle of growth pills for you put on your lawn, and they start eating this bottle, and each one they take a few bottles of pill, or take a few pills, and they grow huge, and the other one takes some more pills and they get bigger and bigger, and eventually by the end of the film they're larger than the earth itself. And it's that kind of wacky surrealism that is a basis for my humor, and that's what I think is hilarious, and that's why I want to sort of keep using that kind of surreal humor.
Do you think the surrealism of the cartoons you grew up with affected your dream life or your fantasy life?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. I never thought of that before. I don't think so. I really don't. I look at my dreams, and they're fairly mundane compared to other people's dreams. I think they're the same as anybody else's. The only difference between me and other people is that I put my fantasies on the screen, and these are fantasies or dreams that are in the deepest, darkest pit of my brain. And I think everybody has weird, bizarre, trippy fantasies, and I'm just putting them up on paper.
Bill Plimpton, his new animated feature, I Married a Strange Person, opens theatrically Friday in New York and Los Angeles, and opens in other cities in September.